Good morning. I am Lauren Mattern. I'd like to read from Romans 8, 14 through 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Romans 8, 14 through 17.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning. Welcome, everybody who's in person and online. And I did get messaged by a few dads that were like, it's Father's Day, I'll see you online. So I get it. So let me tell you how first of all, if we haven't met, I'm Nathan. I get to be pastor here at West Bowles. Let me tell you how I knew it was Father's Day weekend. Yesterday morning, I'm out on a walk, and there's a pond not far from our house, and this is what I saw, okay? So, yeah, we've got this up here. Okay, so it's Gosling season, not Ryan Gosling, okay? I mean, some of you don't know who that is, that's fine, but, like, baby geese are goslings, right? Some of you don't even know. Okay, so anyway, let's just make a word up. It's goslings, okay? So you can see a few goslings in the middle of this picture here. I'm walking by this, and I was like, oh, man, it is so Father's Day weekend. Because let's just see if we're all thinking the same thing. Where do you suppose, which one's the mom? Okay, to me, the mom is the one, like, up on the grass, like standing guard, right? These are her babies. She's protecting. And then where do you suppose dad is?
In water.
Yeah, he's in the water playing with the kids, having a great time. That one on the left in the water, I didn't even care who saw me. I mean, it was early morning. I saw it and I was just like, happy Father's Day right there. I just went, man, even nature knows what weekend it is. Well, anyway, thank you for being here. I know you could be a lot of places, and we love that you're spending Father's Day with us. I want to ask you something. We talked about this recently. When I think about my own children, and I think about the different ways they relate to me, it's really interesting how they kind of telegraph their approach. Let me explain. And we did talk about the beginning of this recently. Let me just throw this out there. When your child comes to you and they say something like, oh, Father dearest, all right, what are they doing? Yeah, they're about to ask for something, right? Or one of our kids will go, oh, dad. And I go, yeah, what do you want? Okay. Let me throw another one out at you, because this one comes my way in our house. Bro. Or bruh. What does that mean? Come on, dad. Come on. Like, get with it. And first of all, I'm not your bro, okay? I'm your dad. Yes, there we go. Okay, yeah. All right, let's see. I'm trying to think of here's one. Let me ask this. How many of you, like, it was a perfectly normal, acceptable thing in your house to call your parents by their first names growing up? I mean, I know there are a few. I actually was surprised to hear this. Okay. Yeah, that's like a no-no. I mean, some of my worst groundings came from calling my parents by their first names. But here's what happens in our family, and I'll just kind of give you the tone that it comes. Nathan, like from our kids. Nathan, okay? Let me tell you when that happens. What that means is, Dad, we are almost the last family at church every single Sunday. And you won't stop talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And so the only way I can get your attention, Dad, is to say, Nathan. That's usually when that comes my direction, okay? So I say all this because I want to highlight something. That the names we use for those in our lives usually reflect the posture with which we approach one another, right? It could be delight, it could be asking, it could be frustration, it could be love, it could be all kinds of things. The reason I tell you that is because this is what can so come into our relationship with our Heavenly Father, right? And so you may refer to him as God, you may refer to him as Father, but there's something I've noticed even in my own journey and in my own life that when I say God, there are certain postures that come up within me. And as I sit and I listen to people, I go, oh, it's not just me. I mean, we'll use God, we'll use Father, but oftentimes, there's something we're approaching him with. For example, there are many of you in here, and many times in my own life, where when I say God or I say Heavenly Father, what I'm really, the posture I have inside is I'm approaching him as though I'm a guest. And when I say guest, what I mean is I'll be thinking, sir. I'll say God, but I'll be thinking, sir. That is, I want to be polite, right? But I don't know how closely I can approach. And for some of you in your relationship with God, you've maybe had seasons in your faith where that's just how the dynamic felt. Like, oh, I want to be polite. I don't want to say the wrong word. I don't want to pray the wrong words. Because if I do, I'm not sure what would happen if I somehow got a word wrong or if I didn't walk on eggshells around him. And as I sit and as I listen, I go, yeah, that's a very real way of people relating to their Heavenly Father. Here's another one, as I listen. I guess maybe the name for it would just be, are we okay? Like, Heavenly Father, I don't really know where we stand. Are we okay? And it strikes me as almost like the anxious heir, right? You know that he's a good father and he wants to give you his gifts of grace and all that he has. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I know my name's on the will, but I feel like I gotta earn something. I feel like I gotta qualify. And I just don't know. I don't know if I can approach as closely as I read in scripture or as I've been told. And some of us will say the word God or we'll say the word Father, and really the posture we have inside is he's our boss, right? He's our boss, and I know that I've been told I work for the company, but I feel like I just got to earn my place and I got to earn my way. And all of this can get into how we relate to our Heavenly Father. And so on this Father's Day, I want to come back to that term Father, and we're going to get even more specific. I mean, you see the word on the screen, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But here's really the reason we're talking about this, because you cannot relate to God as a guest. You cannot relate to God as an anxious heir to what he has promised. You cannot relate to him as like this probationary hire and still reflect him the way he intended. You can't do it. You can't do it, but those postures will leak, and they will leak into the relationships in your life. If that is how you approach God, it will come out somehow, and the people around you, they won't get a father. They won't get a mother. They won't get a neighbor or a boss or a companion. They'll get something else. They'll get maybe a tyrant. They'll get somebody who speaks up when maybe they should be quiet, and they'll get somebody who's quiet when maybe they should speak up. And so this morning, instead of doing that thing that I know comes up so often on Father's Day, especially for us men, it's that Father's Day message where we think, oh, I just gotta be better, I gotta do more, I gotta just improve. I don't wanna go there this morning. Instead, I wanna ask a different question. What name are we approaching our Heavenly Father with? Because if we could learn to approach our Heavenly Father the way Paul points us to in Romans chapter 8, there is something so different. that begins to happen, not just in, but through your life, in the lives of the people around you. And it, actually, I want to point you to this word. It's already on screen, but you see it in Romans chapter 8. It's Abba. Abba. And some of you messaged me yesterday, and you're like, we're doing a sermon on the music band Abba? No, we're not. One friend asked if that music could be played all morning, and no, it's not. But Abba. See, in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about this, and Paul, it's so fascinating. I mean, Paul is, he's a Pharisee, okay? I mean, he knows so much. He's had so much training. He knows all the names of God. He knows him as Almighty. He knows him as Sovereign. He knows him as Holy One, Yahweh, like all these names. And yet the name he points to is Abba. Abba in Romans chapter 8. Now, what kind of a word is that? In especially in first century Jewish homes, one of the first sounds you heard in a home when there was a baby was Abba. Abba, I mean, it's not even a formal word. It's not a theological word. It almost sounds just like a noise. I mean, think about it. Think about newborn babies. You could go down to the nursery right now in this building, and if there is a baby awake, laying there peacefully, you'll hear the coos and stuff like that, but eventually you're going to hear what? Ah, ba, 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 ba. Ah, ba, 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 right? They just keep going and keep going. And to us, that's just a random noise. You think, Nathan, they don't even know what they're doing. And that's the point. See, we may hear random noise. I think that's our Heavenly Father who knew exactly what he was doing when he put us together. That the first noise we would ever make would be a name for our Heavenly Father. When we're not even conscious of it, when we're not even aware of it. See, that's what this name is. This is Abba. Abba. And so as you read this, and as you read what Paul has to say around this word, it is fascinating. Because this is something that is happening so beyond even our own awareness. When we proclaim Abba, and I'll explain what that means. Because Abba, what it really does is it begins to embrace the posture with which we approach our Heavenly Father. Abba. Dad. It's a childlike posture. It's a childlike approach. And Paul says, listen, when you finally give your life, when you entrust your life to Jesus Christ, God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit within you, it begins expressing something. And it, beyond even your own faculties, wants to express Abba, Abba, Abba in and through your life. And so I want you to write down three words. Okay, as we look at what Paul has to say around this word, I just want you to write down three words as we look at it, because as you allow the Spirit to speak Abba in your life, there are some childlike postures that begin to come out in your life. First, read this. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The Spirit you received, that is, when you entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. In other words, you're a child. You're a child. When you received that Spirit, it made you a child. The first thing I want you to write down is dependence. Dependence. See, in the world we live in, when childhood is over, You know what the world we live in wants you to think? Oh, you're independent. You're independent. When childhood is over, you live independently. The truth is, you don't live independently. You actually live as a slave. You live enslaved to this demand inside of you that just says, be more, handle it yourself, go about it on your own. You don't need anybody. And Paul goes, but when you receive that Spirit, something changes. You are no longer a slave to the fear of not living up to that demand. You are no longer a slave to the lie that says you are completely independent from needing something beyond you. No, you actually become dependent. You become very dependent. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. See, you think about a child. A child knows they can call at 2 a.m., don't they? Yeah, a child can stand at the bottom of the stairs and they can call out, Mom, Dad, and they can know that they'll be responded to. See, a child doesn't sit there and they don't evaluate, how important is this need? They just know they can express their need. Handful of verses later, Paul goes on to say, listen, we don't even know what we should pray for, but the Spirit of God within us, it intercedes for us. It intercedes with groans that our words can't even express. In other words, I don't know what I need to pray for at any given moment, Heavenly Father, but you do. And I trust that your Spirit is expressing that in some way, shape, or form. I always giggle when people go, I don't know how to pray. Will you pray for us? I don't know. I don't know if I should pray. Here's the thing. Sometimes your greatest prayer may not even be your words. It may just be a groan. It may be a cry. It may be a heartfelt sigh. That's dependence. That's going, Lord, I'm going to trust you to even express what I don't even know how to express. Second word I want you to write down. First, let's read what Paul says in verse 16. By him, by that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The next word I want you to write down after dependence is belonging. Belonging. When we express the word Abba, one of the things that's being cultivated is this reminder and this anchoring deep down in our hearts of our belonging. Our belonging. Belonging says you're already in the family. Right? I mean, you think about a child in a house. I mean, they don't walk around and go, ooh, can I be there? Can I touch that? No, they flop on the couch. They open the fridge. They eat everything. Hypothetical situation. Okay? It's what I've heard anyway. But it just, a child doesn't wonder that stuff. They don't. And so they know, oh, I belong. And I absolutely belong. See, the Spirit is inside you right now testifying, despite your circumstances, despite what people have said to you, that you're a child. And he doesn't argue with your doubts. He just keeps testifying. You're a child. And so when we say Abba, that's reinforcing, I belong. I belong. Regardless of what everything in front of me says, there is a Spirit within me that says, I belong. I belong to a Heavenly Father. I belong to one who is good and loving and is the truth. And I belong as part of what he's up to here in this world and in eternity. I belong. Finally, a third word I want you to write down, verse 17. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And the third word I want you to write down is boldness. There's dependence. Abba cultivates dependence. It cultivates belonging. And it cultivates boldness. Boldness. See, a child who knows they're an heir, they don't skulk around. They don't sit there and, like we said earlier, question. They say, no, I belong. See, arrogance is claiming a status you haven't been given. Boldness is walking in the status that he has given you. In other words, yes, I have claim to the abundant life that Jesus promised. I have claim to that. This may come as news to some in here, but God's goal is not to make you a little bit better, right? And oftentimes, isn't that, fellas, where Father's Day goes? Even if it's not in front of you, like on TV or anywhere that you look, but it can just come up, can't it? That demand we talked about earlier, oh, if I could just be better, if I could just improve. I gotta be honest, it's just too small. God is not out to make you a little bit better father, mother, neighbor, boss, student, candidate, employee, you know, all the things, coach, athlete. No, he's out to make you different. He's out to transform. He's out to make a dead being come to life. That is very different than being a little bit better, isn't it? It's very different. See, here's what I was sitting with as I was just sitting with this word Abba. People will encounter the power of the Father when we embrace the posture of a child. Can we do that? People encounter the power of our Heavenly Father when we embrace the posture of children. And that's not how we naturally think. We think, if I just be a little bit better, if I could just do a little bit more, if I could just try a little bit harder. But the truth is, you'd be a totally different father. You'd be a different mother. You'd be a different neighbor. All the things we just listed, you'd be a different everything if you could embrace that you are a child, that I'm dependent, that I belong, that I'm bold. Have you guys ever seen the show on Netflix? And I don't know if Netflix has it right now, The King of Collectibles. King of Collectibles, anybody? All right, so three of us were watching it. Okay, so I love this show because it's this man named Ken Golden. And Ken Golden, I mean, he specializes in sports memorabilia and sports cards and stuff like that, but he had Beanie Babies, he had Hot Wheels, he had train sets and all kinds of stuff. But he's an auctioneer, and he was also like a middleman for these different auctions. And so Ken Golden, his business is of just all these collectibles, he had really built it up. And so Netflix did a show on it. They're interviewing him on one of the episodes for a show, and behind him, you hear like the mic picked up like a toilet flushing, because that's what you want when you're gonna be on TV. There's a toilet flushing, and you hear a sink running, and the door opens, and you find out this is his daughter, his young adult daughter is walking out of this bathroom. And he stops the interview, and they just keep the camera rolling. He turns around, and he goes, "Hey, that's my private bathroom. Nobody uses that." And his daughter just looks at him. She's like, "Well, I just did." And he's like, "Well, one of us built a $4 million collectibles business, so he gets a private bathroom." And his daughter said, "And one of us is going to inherit that $4 million collectibles business. So I just used it." And when I saw that, when I heard that, I thought, man, that's not arrogance. That's a child. That's a child who knows they're dependent. They know they belong, and they can be bold about that. Now, here's what I don't want to have happen this morning. Do not walk out of here with a to-do list that says, "Oh, I just gotta try to be more dependent, and I just gotta try to belong, and I just gotta try to be more bold." Because if you do that, you will have missed it. You will miss what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8. It's the opposite of what he's saying. I want you to just pay attention to the verbs in Romans chapter 8. Here's what we read in Romans chapter 8. We'll just list them up here on this slide, right? There's, first of all, the Spirit he talks about being led by the Spirit. The Spirit brought about your adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. You know what is so fascinating about that? We didn't initiate any of that, did we? There is no hint of anything in there that says we initiated anything. No, that's our Heavenly Father. His Holy Spirit is the one doing it. And the reason I bring this up, I think this is important for us to know. Every single one of these verbs, each of these statements, is something that's being done in you, to you, through you. See, that's hard for us. Because if you're anything like me, we want a checklist, right? I want a checklist of just tell me what I need to do. And then I want to be able to check it off. And then I, at the end of the day, want to be able to point back at my checklist and go, "Look what I did." Right? The flesh wants a checklist. The Spirit wants a cry. The Spirit wants to express. The Spirit wants to initiate. The Spirit wants to do it. But we want a checklist. See, and this is what, when you read in Scripture, this is what we read. It's referred to as striving. Striving. Striving is honestly probably a more theological way of saying trying to save myself. I'm just going to try to save myself by my own effort. And Paul goes, No. See, when you entrust your life to your Savior, there is a Holy Spirit that begins to express within you. It's not you doing something. It begins to express. See, the problem is not that you need to start something. The problem is you're suppressing something. You might be choking something back. You may be going, no, that just needs to stay down. I don't want my dependence to come out. I'm not sure if I belong. I don't know if I have the standing to be that bold. Right? We get these things that come up and they get in the way. You've got this impulse to depend. And then what's that thing that comes up inside you? You start going, but I should be able to handle this on my own. I should. I ought. When you start hearing that voice within you, that's your flesh trying to get in the way of what the Spirit is wanting to express. Abba. Abba. Dependence. When you get that thing in you that wants to express belonging, and then there's this thing that goes, but I think he's disappointed with me and I failed at this week and I don't know. Guess what? That's your flesh. It's getting in the way. It's suppressing. It's suppressing something that the Spirit is trying to express. When there's that thing that you want to be bold, that you want to point to something God did, and then you start thinking, but who am I? Who am I to say that? That's your flesh. See, for many of us, I don't think the issue is I need to start something in order to more fully display the power of God in my life. We need to stop suppressing something. That's really the issue. Because you want to know what happened at the cross? And I know we come back to this every single week, and we're not going to stop coming back to it. What happened at the cross, if you go back to the night before, your Savior, Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you know what he cried? Abba. Abba. Father, take this cup from me. Take this cup, yet not my will, but thy will be done. And you know what his heavenly Father did? He did not relent. There was no, okay, we'll stop this whole thing right here. Nope. There was silence. Why? So that when you cry Abba, and when I cry Abba, because we've entrusted our lives to him, that he could say yes to us. Jesus got silence so that we could be responded to. That's why when that cry rises up within you, you don't suppress it, because it came at the greatest cost in the history of our world, of all humanity, of all history. That's why. And so the solution is not just be a little better. You got to hear that, whether you're a father here on Father's Day, a mother, a boss, a student, a neighbor, whatever walk of life you're in. It's not about being a little better. You know what finally planted this so deeply in my heart? Our son Lincoln, he was in third grade. Okay, third grade, he's over at the elementary school, and I remember they had like the latest lunch of the day. For like 3 years straight, Lincoln, didn't you have like the latest lunch of the day? Yeah, it was at like 1:30 in the afternoon. For us early risers, that's dinner time, okay? So at 1:30 in the afternoon, Lincoln's got lunch. And I just, one day, I was like, hey, buddy, I want to come have lunch with you. Back when my kids wanted to be seen with me in school. It's kind of weird now that he's in junior high. I don't think he'd appreciate me just walking in and having lunch with him. But I don't think they'd let me. But anyway, so I said, hey, what do you want? I'll grab Chick-fil-A. I picked up Chick-fil-A. Signed in at the school. I come in, I sit down at the table. Lincoln's with all his friends. I give Lincoln what he wanted. And then like three of his friends start reaching in to the Chick-fil-A bag. Whose lunch is in the Chick-fil-A bag still? Mine. And Lincoln's digging in. These kids are like, I mean, it's gone. And I was like, I'll fight. I will fight some elementary kids right now. But I leaned over and I was like, Lincoln, what is going on? Like, this is my lunch. He's like, oh, I told my friends my dad had enough. I told my friends my dad had enough. I was like, oh man, I can't even argue right now. Think of it. You have a heavenly father who you, because of your childlike posture, because of the spirit within him that wants to express dependence and belonging and boldness, that says, Abba, you can say, my father has enough. See, that's what we're getting at. And that's what we're aiming for. And that goes so much further than I'm just going to try to be a little more dependent. And I'm going to try to belong a little more. And I'm going to try to be a little more bold. That goes so much farther. See, that's an encounter. The people around you, the circles you live in and you move around in, that's when they begin to encounter the power of our Heavenly Father, our Savior, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we can embrace, I'm a child and Heavenly Father, I know you have everything I need. I know I belong, and I know I can be so bold as to point at that to the people in my life. Some of you in here, you've been striving. You've been striving so much. And you've been trying to model being able to do it yourself, and so people don't hear or they don't see dependence. You've been trying to prove you belong, and so people don't pick up on the peace that comes with just knowing you belong. You've been wondering if you can be so bold, and so there's no boldness that people experience. That can change. As the worship team comes back up, I'd ask you to consider, there will be a prayer team up here, up front, as we have every single week. As the worship team comes back up, do you need to talk to somebody? Do you need to talk to him? You don't have to have words. You got a Heavenly Father who goes, I'll express it. I will express it for you. Maybe you just need to come forward and talk to somebody and you just need to sigh. Maybe you need to cry. Maybe you just need to proclaim Abba. In fact, I can think of no better place for us to close in prayer. Why don't you pray with me? Abba. Abba, Father. Lord, we have no idea. We have absolutely no idea what sits on the other side of fully, fully embracing that we are your children. And for so many of us, for so many years, that's just been a hard thing to embrace. We've approached you as a guest. We've approached you as maybe a nervous, anxious heir to what you've promised. We've approached you as like we're on probation. But Heavenly Father, would you give us your strength to stop suppressing what your spirit is expressing within us? Would you, as the cry wants to come out, Lord, would you free us? Would you free us from trying to keep that back? From somehow thinking that strength is displayed by appearing strong by the world's definition? Lord, help us not be in the way of what your Holy Spirit wants to express through us. And Heavenly Father, as that happens, would you open our eyes to the people in our lives that would encounter you differently? Lord, let that bring us back to the cry of Abba over and over and over. Plant this passage that we've looked at this morning in our hearts this week. Bring us back to it. And Lord, we cry Abba. And we know that you hear everything that cry has as it's expressed. Give us your strength and your trust to be assured of that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.